for the Rock. Kentucky State sending five on that play. They were able to pick it up. Wes Hills with a little chip block before he released. They had one-on-one up the middle. Secondary split wide open. It's been the most successful pass pattern for the Rock today. Kester throwing a bullet to Mike Marhat. This time he comes down with it, runs right into the end zone, and boom, just like that, back-to-back possessions. Bob, you're coming away with points. 7 points, in fact. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that throws yourself right back into this ballgame.
Great, great work by the Rock. 30-yard touchdown. And here's the extra point try. It's up, and it's good. And just like that, you've got it to a score. 1 minute into the second half, and the Rock has posted now a 28-21 deficit. But you mentioned it. They scored going into halftime on the Wes Hills dive from 10 yards out. And now Mike Marhat receiving the second touchdown pass of the day by Andrew Kester, who looked good on that drive.
Yeah, really nice pocket presence. And I go back to the play he made on the second down after the high snap. You know, ball rolling around in the backfield. He's able to scoop it up and throw it out of bounds. That saves you. That keeps you at a third down and three, because if not, let's say he falls on the football or whatever happens there, it's a third down and 15. So nice heads-up plays by Kester on that drive, not to mention the offsides that we saw in Kentucky State. Kester taking advantage of that, throwing a nice little fade pattern to Henry Litwin, who pulled in one heck of a ball right over the shoulders. And then, of course, connecting on the open one, Mike Marhat. Those are the ones you have to be able to reel down and execute. The Rock were able to do that. That's how you come out of the gate to start the second half.
Well, you know, Sean Lutz said to us several times in the preseason that Henry Litwin had an amazing camp. And how he caught that pass. I mean, it was like his head was on a swivel.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a fade pattern. And to catch that and to keep, like you said, keep your head on the ball as it is coming over your left shoulder, and you got to catch it in on as you're trailing toward the sideline. So you also have to realize where your feet are. There's a lot that goes into that play, and Henry Litwin was able to pull it down. A heck of a play by Henry Litwin.
Well, certainly that's the jump you need to come out of the gate after, I'm sure, a not real happy halftime.
I'm sure there were some words said. My guess that we probably shouldn't say on the air either.
Well, here's the kick from Jake Chaplin, and he boots it to Sylvie at the 2-yard line. He comes across the 5, 10, 15, 20, out to the outside, 25, 30. He's got a hole, 35, 40. He's out through another hole, out to the 50-yard line, and they're still gang-tackling him as he gets into Rock territory.
There it is.
Got a flag here. Is a very, very late hit.
Jordan White just came up and knocked Chapla over well after the play.
So now that's going to bring back what would have been a big return and bring it back into Kentucky State territory. So
Chapla's
a little bit of a
break. High fives and handshakes from everyone on the sideline. Like, oh, way to take one for the team.
So the personal foul is called, and that'll march instead of about the 40-yard line of Rock territory, puts Kentucky State back on their own 40-yard line.
Yeah, that's sacrificing one for the team there. I mean, he got lit.
So 40-yard touchdown pass, Andrew Kester to Mike Marhat after the Henry Litwin grab for 27 yards. So the Rock doing a little of their own big plays, turning the tables on the Thoroughbreds, and it's a 28-21 game. Now we go back to St. G in the backfield, and here's Sylvie with the handoff, and it goes for a negative yard. Boy, they are not finding much running room up the middle outside of when they break a tackle.
Outside of the 75-yard runs. Chad Kuhn, right defensive end for the Rock, doing a nice job of defensive end contain, because when you do have a look like that, it's essentially an option play. St. Joel's can have that look if he wants to keep it to the outside. So his only option was to give it to Sylvie, and that just was clogged up by the Rock front.
So negative yardage for the Thoroughbreds on that play. And here's second and 11 now. St. G doing a rollout to the near side. Throws the ball, and it's caught and upended for a first down. Is number 86, who is Jordan Level, and he got leveled at the end of that, but not before he moves the chains and moves into Rock territory down to the 42.
That's a tough pass. Chad Kuhn actually laid out Jules St. Guy after the throw. I thought maybe they would get him for a late hit. But when you're rolling to the opposite side of your throwing arm, so you got to throw across the body to a route and a receiver that's in motion, very difficult throw, especially with pressure in his face. Nice job done by Sankey.
So now you have a double running back tandem in the backfield, and it'll be a keeper inside. Right up the gut goes St. G, and he goes for a first down, an 11-yard carry. Boy, there was that play that burnt them in the first half. They ran it again.
Yeah, faked the jet sweep to the right side, and St. G decides just to hold on to it. Plenty of room to run in between the end and the tackle. He was able to take advantage of it. Very athletic quarterback for the Thoroughbreds, and just rolls right up there, moves the chains, picks up the first down.
So the Rock is coming out of the gate here, scoring on their opening drive. Kentucky State trying to answer the call. They had a 28-14 lead at half. It's 28-21, but Kentucky State moving the ball into Rock territory. Now here's Sylvie, handoff inside, and he'll gain a yard before he's stacked up at the 30-yard line.
And just a nice job of clogging up the middle. You saw linebackers attacking their gaps, front four for the Rock, getting a nice little push. Nothing super aggressive, but enough just to clog up running room for Sylvie. And so you'll keep him for a short gain. Again, you want to just limit those big plays that have worked for the Thoroughbreds, because they are not averaging. I mean, they're averaging a lot per carry, but on a typical play, they've really been kept in check.
Now they replace Sylvie with Malik Saunders in the backfield, and he'll take the fake and move, and Gee gets snowed under, and they'll lose a yard on this one.
Really like the discipline I'm seeing from Chad Kuhn on the outside. St. Gee decided to step back, wanted to roll out. Kuhn forcing him back to the middle. You saw some more green jerseys just coming after him, able to bring down the quarterback in the backfield. Really enjoying the play right now, Chad Kuhn.
So the Rock now with a big third and 10. After the no gain, or even the loss, actually, of a bit. It is just shy of the 30-yard line, which is where the ball is spotted now. And here's St. G again, and he hands it off this time to Sylvie. He escapes a tackle, gets forward to the first down marker. Did he get there? He's stacked up, and they're still fighting the pile. I think he's going to be a yard short. It'll be fourth and one.
Two Rock defenders had Sylvie just beyond the line of scrimmage, and they let him go. Missed tackling has been an issue so far this game for Slippery Rock, and we saw it right there. Lucky enough, though, to hold him short of just the first down marker, and I would imagine the Thoroughbreds are going to go for it here.
Yeah, you're up. I mean, things have been going your way. Although they've had trouble on these short yardage scenarios today.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm expecting a Sylvie handoff right up the gut, but wouldn't be surprised if St. Gee keeps it.
This is Wilkerson in the backfield, and he's going to be hit. He gets out of the tackle, doesn't get the first down. He's snowed under. He slipped as he tried to cut back inside, and the Rock has held them for a turnover on downs.
It's always things like this that make me so confused about college coaches. Sylvie's been your best runner all day. You need a first down. You need 3 yards to do it. And you stick in the backup running back. No offense to Wilkerson, but Sylvie's been the guy. He's been the guy who's made the plays, him and St. Gee. And so you give it to the backup running back, and you run a pattern, or you run a sweep play to the outside. Sometimes coaches outthink themselves, and I think that's what we saw right there. Give credit to the Rock. They made a nice play, don't get me wrong. But sometimes you scratch your head at play calls.
Well, you got Sylvie, of course, thanks to a 75-yard run, over 100 yards. He's got, 13 carries for 115 today. But they go to Wilkerson, who has literally not averaged a yard per carry today. Now here's Wes Hills. They hand it off very quickly to Hills, and he pounds for 10 yards. Out across, moving the chains to the 37. Now here's a handoff inside again. Wes Hills jumps over a tackler, and he gains 9 more. And here goes the hurry-up.
You can see
Coach John Lutz. He's waving him, saying, tempo, tempo.
And that's what we were looking for. That's what we wanted to see from this Rock offense.
Here's a quick handoff, and it's Hills inside. He's got the first down. Puts his head down to the 49-yard line. Just like that, the Rock taking over at their own 31, and they've marched it to midfield.
Continue to move. You got to continue to move.
You got some Kentucky State Thoroughbreds right now with their hands on their hips. Here's Kester with a rollout. Looks, runs, punches it forward on a little pooch, and it's out to Austin Scott, And did he grab it inbounds, or are they saying incomplete?
They say incomplete, but a smart play by Kester, tried to extend the play for as long as he possibly could, ran out of options. And again, especially when you're throwing to the opposite side of your body, so you would have to throw across your body, it makes it very difficult. Kester trying to flip one off to Scott, just not enough green area to do it.
Just a little shuffle pass of sorts there. So it's second down and 10. Kester in the shotgun. That's Jakar Berry, who's beside him. We've got a flag being dropped, but it's complete. The ball out to, again, Austin Scott, and he would have first down yardage, but let's see what the flag is about. Maybe there's a hold in the backfield.
Maybe a late hit.
Oh, no, it's a personal foul, roughing the passer, and great call there by Tyler Friel. As you saw it, I didn't, but apparently Kester was hit in the backfield late, so not only do they get the first down, but add a little bit more to it.
Yeah, it's always a judgment call for these officials. Sometimes it's blatant, sometimes it isn't. And in that particular case, I could see it going either way, but this time it works out in the favor of the Rock.
So 9:07 to go here in the third quarter, and the Rock now on the move, and an opportunity after the turnover on downs. Kentucky State marching downfield. Looking like they were going to answer the Rock's touchdown of this second half. But the turnover on downs forced by the Rock defense. And now the offense on the move and an opportunity to really close out the deficit. So once again, you have Kester in the backfield with Jakar Berry, and he's going to be sacked. Kester was looking near side, and there was good coverage downfield. Kester probably should have got rid of that one a little earlier. He held onto it too long and then pays the penalty, the sack, and a loss of 5 yards.
Yeah, you're trying to extend the play. Kester with quick feet in the pocket. Just time eventually ran out after the Kentucky State front four were able to bring Kester down in the backfield. It looks like we're going to get a false start here, Bob.
And one of the offensive linemen giving a move early. And so the Rock going to be moved back now to the 35-yard line, and it'll be second and long. They've got to get to the 15-yard line for a first down. Kester in the shotgun, Barry's sidecar. That was Hills, I'm sorry, he's back in. Here's a wide-open pass play, caught by number 9, Jermaine Wynn Jr. He's got the first down and more. He was all alone. He gets to the 9-yard line.
Boy, the breakdown that you're looking at through the middle for Kentucky State is really bizarre because it's been wide open. Someone's leaving the slot guy uncovered for Kentucky State, and they've not been able to take advantage of it.
Now here's Kester, looks to the end zone, has a man wide open again, and it's just off the fingertips of Jermaine Wynn. Is that Dakota Clannigan,
Looks like Clannigan.
No, that was number 8, not number 9. Number 8, Dakota Clannigan. We're still getting used to the new numbers this year. And Clannigan coming out of the slot that time, and the ball just a little too high for his grasp.
It was there, though.
So it's second down. Second and goal, the Rock on the 9-yard line, trying to tie this thing up. They were down at one point, 28-7. Here's Kester, a little pitch out roll. No, he keeps it, and he gets inside the 5 down to the 4-yard line on the keeper. And they're going to say his knee touched at the 5.
Smart move by Kester. They were keen on Wes Hills because that was the play they had gone to, which scored the touchdown earlier in this ball game. Kester decides to keep it himself, uses his athleticism. Now this gives you a third down and manageable. You're sitting at the 5-yard line. Really opens up the playbook for Justin Roper.
So it'll be third and goal from the 5. Hills will be sidecar left. They put a man in motion, Clannigan. High snap, pulled down, handoff. No, he keeps it. Now he throws a screen to Clannigan. Yeah. And that one just had nowhere to go. He gets it to the 3-yard line. It'll be fourth and goal. And here you almost have to kick the field goal to guarantee you get some pay dirt. But
Lutz is going to leave him out there. I don't mind that. A 7-point game, 4-point difference.
They're going to bring out the tight end crew.
Yeah.
Zach Cirillo and A.J. Alexander are coming in. And so they'll do a double tight end stack to the left side and put Wes Hills to the right of Andrew Kester. So heavy bunch left side. Let's see if he runs that way. Kester, fourth and goal. Litwin goes to the top side in motion. Snap, Kester, handoff, Hills, goes into the pile. Second effort, third effort. Does he get in? It's fumbled, and it's grabbed by Kentucky State, and they're on the run. All alone is the return man, number seven, Jalen Wesley. He's going down the sideline. He's going to run out of gas. He's waiting for a block. He gets it. He's still on his feet. Now he's going to be dropped at the 20-yard line. He simply ran out of gas instead of returning it back for a touchdown. Wes Hills lost the ball at the goal line. He fumbled it into the end zone, and it was picked up by Wesley and returned all the way back to the 20-yard line. So the second fumble today by a Rock player going into the end zone.
Boy, I tell you what, Bob. I'm watching the replay right now. He was either down or that ball had crossed the plane. I have a hard time believing that was a fumble.
Well, we talked about the third and fourth effort. There was quite a stack up there, and they weren't blowing the whistle.
Hey, you could have looked at forward progress there. You could have looked at a number. And the angle that we have on that is from over top of the press box, so looking down on there. So we don't have one just lying straight up. But looking at that replay, you have a tough time convincing me he fumbled that football.
And Coach Lutz is giving it to the officials. I do believe he is complaining that very fact that you're talking about. And he is in a deep conversation with the officials right now.
Because that ball was picked up in the end zone. And automatically in football, once it crosses that plane, that's it. In the ground game, that's a touchdown. But the way his body was extended, no one goes to the ground with the ball out first. He was inside a pile. A lot of guys, that knee had to be down.
Instead, they give the ball to Kentucky State, and it's first and 10 at the 20. St. G hands off. Sylvie goes into the pile, and the tackle actually throws him forward for a yard. He was stopped at the line of scrimmage.
But you want to talk about just a killer of a play.
Instead of tying the game, it's a fumble, and Kentucky State in pay dirt area now, leading 28-21.
Man, I like the call. I mean, obviously your opinion now has a lot more credence because they did fumble the football, but I like the gutsy call.
Second and nine now. High snap, handoff. This time the ball is to carrier Malik Saunders, and he gets another yard. So back-to-back plays of 1 yard.
Because I do like the way the Rock defense has been playing. So I think if you're Lutz, you're going there processing, okay, granted the few big plays have happened, but you're thinking you get a stop, and either way you're going to get the ball back probably in good field position. That was literally the worst thing that could have happened out of that.
Well, best scenario of this is either a field goal hold or maybe a turnover on downs again. Here's a third down play. And here comes St. G. Scambles out of the pocket. Now here comes a flag, and he's going to spin his way to a first down. But hold on. There was holding in the backfield as they were trying to save St. G's life.
Yeah, and they were able to accomplish that, as it looks like St. G is down on the field here now.
He got hit very hard as he was spinning down to the 10-yard line, and he is down on his back. Now, they do have Campbell, and he's going to come into the game right away, but let's see what the injury is to St. G. He's taking his helmet off. He is in pain.
I wonder if he's a little cramping issue. Yep, that's what it looks like.
Okay. I was going to say, that he kind of spun down to the ground, so it must have been an awkward land if he was hurt, but no, this looks like it's going to be a cramping situation. Coach Lutz still going out onto the field. He's giving an earful right now. And, you know, you can understand his sentiment right now because
it's a huge play. It's a huge play.
Could be a game-changing.
Yeah, and obviously at the Division II level, you know, you don't have access to replay as you do in other, you know, college football and pro levels. But that's one, just, you know, the laws of physics, you would imagine, it would make it almost impossible. I mean, he fumbled the football. Don't get me wrong. The ball came loose, and it was recovered by Kentucky State. That's not what I'm trying to convey. I'm conveying that he either broke the plane or his knee was down. I just can't believe he was still up in the air when that ball came loose.
Well, it was about a 15-second scrum. That's about how long they let it run. Here's a handoff on the sweep play to Sylvie after the penalty, and he's got to the outside and is hit hard and driven into the turf at the 16-yard line. He'll be short of the first down. It'll be fourth and about six or seven, depending on the spot. So let's see if they go for the field goal. It looks like the field goal unit is coming on.
I'm interested to see how this worked out because, as you remember, that first extra point attempt was rather low. And so this was, I guess, fourth down and six. All right, I could see that. I thought they were a little bit closer. This is probably the right call.
And we're guessing, and I say guessing, that this is some guy named Joe because we don't have the kicker on the roster here.
Joe Kicker.
They have a number 93, but this is 85. Here's the kick. It's going to be shoved to the left, and that's no good. So the Rock escaping the disaster. So instead of tying the game and then fumbling and an opportunity for Kentucky State to retake a 14-point lead, the Rock is going to get it back after the missed field goal attempt.
I mean, obviously, John Smith feeling confident with the special teams unit, but after you just break off a 15-yard play on a run by Brett Sylvie, again, if I'm the Thoroughbreds, I would have went for it there. I'm a little aggressive by nature, Bob, and going for it on fourth downs, obviously. But I just think there was more upside to that. You have an opportunity to really do some damage here. You got the ball in great field position if you're Kentucky State. An opportunity to get a first down on that and find the end zone. I mean, with 4 minutes, 36 seconds to go in the third quarter, the Rock kind of running out of time if it's a 14-point ball game. But nonetheless, they force a field goal attempt that was no good and get the ball back, trying to tie this game back up.
All right, after the missed field goal, score remains 28-21 in favor of the Thoroughbreds, and the Rock comes out. Andrew Kester with Wes Hills to his sidecar left. Kester drops back, looks downfield, throws downfield, has a man wide open, and he just missed hitting him. Henry Litwin almost looked like he slowed up on his route, and if he maybe keeps that progression going, not sure if there was sight line there.
Had the two safeties over top as Kentucky State is going zone coverage, and Kester was going for the deep ball, just threw it a little bit too deep. I actually think if he's able to throw it a little bit shorter, he'll find Litwin. And granted, it would have been dangerous territory for Litwin, but nonetheless, they would have had a completed pass.
Now here's a rollout keeper for Kester, and he's going to roll down the sideline, wide open. He's gone for the races, 50. 40, 30, into the end zone. Andrew Kester just busted off an 80-yard run on a keeper.
And this was the athleticism Sean Lutz was talking about. Kester has the ability to make plays with his legs. And you saw just some great blocking. Mike Murhant, and then I believe it was Zach Cirillo in there creating the gap as they were able to knock out the first two Kentucky State defenders. That allowed Kester to turn on the afterburners, and he was down the sideline, took it into the end zone. The athleticism of number 16 making plays, and boom, Rock now within one.
Wow. What speed shown by Andrew Kester. 80-yard touchdown run. Here's the extra point try to tie this game. Boy, talk about big plays today. My goodness. Here's the extra point try. Mike Murhant the snap. The kick is up, and it is good by Jake Chapla. This game is tied. Andrew Kester, an 80-yard touchdown run on the quarterback keeper. He saw the hole. He didn't even try to fake that he was going to look somewhere else.
He knew he had daylight. He saw his blocking was out in front. Wes Hills was to his right, but he figured, you know what, I see some room to run. I'm athletic enough. I can try to take it through there. And sure enough, he did give a lot of credit to the blocking up front, the wide receivers who were creating space for Slippery Rock, and boom, Kester was able to take advantage of a nice situation, and just like that. 28-28.
Well, Rock taking advantage of the missed field goal, and they've tied this game. Again, keep in mind, they were down at one point 28-7, and it's all knotted up. Andrew Kester, an 80-yard touchdown run. He now has 88 yards on the day on 7 carries. Wes Hill, 16 carries for 85. And by the way, Wes Hill's averaging better than 5 yards per carry. The longest run he's had is 13. It's been a workmanlike day.
And he really hasn't had room to run. That's what's been amazing by Wes Hills. And this is when you realize how good of an athlete the Rock were able to get with this guy. Runs downhill, falls forward, low to the ground, athletic. He's got the ability to move side to side and north to south. They found a gem in Wes Hills. If they can start to create space in the offensive line, Wes Hills is going to have one heck of a year for the Rock.
pardon me.
You're going to make it, Bob.
Some bad news right now. Wes Hills is on the training table. Here's the kick And it's grabbed by number 27, Michael Nero, at his 6. And he's crossed the 20, crossed the 30, hit and driven down at the 34-yard line. And hoping that that's just maybe a little cramping for Wes Hills. He's having a leg worked on. He's up off the training table now, but does not have his helmet. He's going to get on the bike now. It might be a cramping situation. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, he's had a history. You and I were talking about this, too. He's had an injury history. It's all been lower body issues for Wes Hills. And so, you know, if he is going to have one heck of a year here for the Rock, it's going to have to be because he's healthy.
Yeah. And you heard that word health used several different times by Coach Sean Lutz in the coaches' show today, talking about that very fact, Wes mm-hmm. Hills. And again, health will be a key situation for him. We've got a Kentucky State player down now. And, again, it looks like cramping is becoming a significant factor here today because, well, we've got 85 degrees in humidity. It probably feels like it's 90-plus out there. Now you add the field to that, and that's always 5 to 7 degrees hotter. So you're looking at almost triple-digit temperatures on that field right now.
Hey, you go down. I'll take over play-by-play for just a little bit. I'm not working out the cramp. I'll let you work. You can sort through it. You can ask around, see if there's any additional help up here that could help you stretch that thing out.
Well, here we are with the Rock tied with 4 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the third quarter. And we've come to a grinding halt here because of the player down for Kentucky State. And they're working on his left leg, and it does look like it is a cramping situation.
Yeah.
So,
bizarre game, would you say?
Oh, strangely bizarre. I don't know. It's bizarre. You can tell you what, bizarre spelled in capitals, that's for sure.
Just the big play nature of this game. I would venture to say the most dominating drive we've seen. The Rock fumbled it at the 1 yard line. I say dominating, you know, that ability to, and it was one of the earlier ones, I think, in the third quarter, where they were just getting to the line quick, running the ball up the gut, getting 7-8 yards a pop. That, to me, was a dominating drive, and then you get right to the end zone and you fumble the football.
The longest drive of the day was Kentucky State, and they had an 8-play drive that resulted in a turnover on down scenario. So that's been it. Well, here we go. Now we're ready to play again. It'll be first and 10, and a snap to St. G, and he play fakes. Throws downfield, has a man wide open. It's caught by number 10. That's Demetrius Anderson, and he's got a first down into Rock territory down to the 45-yard line.
Yeah, they had one-on-one coverage. Not bad by Kadir Roberts. A nice throw by St. Guy, and that's really one of the first times we've seen a pattern that's gone down the field for Kentucky State. They really don't do it all that often, and St. Guy rolling out to his right was able to throw a nice strike and give the Thoroughbreds credit. They get a nice little pop there, a nice little gain, and they're trying to move down the field.
It's like Wilkerson in the backfield, and it's a rollout. St. G dumps it off, tries to get to his tight end, Joseph Castellanos, and it's incomplete. He threw it behind him.
Yeah, play action to the right side as they tried to get the defensive end, Kuhn, to commit. Again, a nice job of staying home. The defensive contain, he was able to run right along St. G, hand in the face, a little contact on the throw. A nice play by the defensive end for the Rock.
So it'll be a second and 10 now. You look at this scenario for Kentucky State. Every time they've been getting into this territory, looking like they're moving the ball, they've stalled out. Here's St. G. He's going to throw downfield. And it's picked off! It's grabbed by the Rock. Snagged by Tavares Sample, and he's down the sideline. And he's got one man to beat. And he can get inside the 5. He goes to the pylon and is knocked out of bounds at the 1 yard line. Tavares Sample, the captain.
You have the former wide receiver as the ball hawk over top. They run a streak pattern. Tavares Sample just hanging right over top. He saw that. St. Guy did not disguise that whatsoever. Sample read the pass, because we do have a flag down here, and it looks, we'll see what happens. It's hanging right around the 15-yard line, but it should not overturn the interception. But Sample, the former wide receiver, bringing in that ball, running down the field.
We've got an official standing at the 12-yard line, and that's where the flag is, so
what was it?
Did he call late hit?
Must have been, because it was a dead ball foul.
So one of the Rock defenders must have hit somebody maybe out of bounds. And we'll take a look at the replay here and see. As Tavares Sample was going down the sideline, it was a hit from behind. And they're going to call. It looked like
I'm not sure what they called it. It was a personal foul, so maybe it was happened away from the screen. But what you saw there from Sample was just a great read. He knew he had over-the-top coverage. That pass was underthrown a bit. He had an early read on it, able to step in front. And when that former wide receiver is out in the open trying to run, he knows how the field works. He's not one of those defensive backs that's a little sketchy. He knows where he's going.
Jakar Berry takes the handoff, and he puts his head down and gets down to the 16-yard line. That'll be a gain of 3. As number 27 spells Wes Hills. And again, we've seen Wes working out on the sideline. Don't see him anywhere near the bike now. He had been on the bike, so he must be up in the sideline area. He does have his helmet on. I see him. So that's good news. Now we've got another Kentucky State player down again.
Zorio Rudolph this time. Thrown off a bit by Kentucky State, and this may have just been the Thoroughbreds trying to get something going, but going to the air like they did there, it seems to be unconventional for what they've been doing. The ground game has been what has worked for them. Granted, it's happened in big play natures. To me, I'm sticking with that instead of trying to take shots down the field, especially with St. Guy, who I think, Bob, is probably more of the running attack that the Thoroughbreds had. If you're trying to go through the air, I would imagine Paul Campbell is the guy that you would want to do that. So I think Kentucky State now scrambling for offensive ideas because they have been shut out here in the third quarter. You know, this was 28-14 coming into this half, and now it's 28-28. And so maybe trying to get something started, but at the same time, that can always come back to haunt you if it's out of the norm.
Well, St. G was 4 for 4 for 40 yards coming into that scenario. Now he's 4 of 6 with an interception. So we're back now. We've got the player off the field, and we are set to go here as the Rock will be faced with a 2nd and 7 now. They're on their own 16, or on the Kentucky State 16. Here's Kester with a rollout. Pitches it to Jakar Berry. He puts his head down as he gets to the 10. He's going to be shy of the first down by a yard.
And Kester's ability to run is what makes that option play work. That big touchdown he had on the last possession, now Kentucky State knows they need to focus on 16 because he is a running threat. And when you have that, the option becomes much more successful. Waits until the last moment to make the pitch. That allows Jakar Berry to get some nice yards, and now you're looking at a 3rd and short.
And it really looks like Andrew Kester now. I see a different composure now. He looks a lot smoother running this offense. Here's a handoff. Wes Hills is back in. He's got the first down. He bulls his way across the 5, down to the 4-yard line, and that'll be a gain of 6 by number 4.
I completely agree with what you're saying, as it looks like Wes Hills is down.
He's slow to get up here, and boy, you hate to see this. Yep, he's up, and he's going to help himself off the field here a little bit and actually jog off. Looked like he just got maybe a little pounded hard there at the end of that. Coach Lutz coming over to talk to him, and at this point, Wes is going to come over to the sideline and take a breather. And he's trying to shrug off of any work by the trainer, comes over and takes a knee. Here's a handoff to Jakar Berry, tucks it inside, down to the 2-yard line. Pickup of 2. We've got some scrambles again at the end of the play, too. They let that go, and now everybody settles down.
You can see Lutz on the sideline saying, hey, let's roll. Move the pace up, even though we're at the goal line. We have to be quicker.
That's something that we've seen a little bit of, not enough today. Here it is, 2nd and goal. Berry, oh, he slipped and got knocked backward for a yard. Just didn't look like that was a good, clean handoff.
No.
And it was a play that was all for naught out of the gate.
Not sure if there was some miscommunication on the offensive line as well, because they allowed 2 Thoroughbred defenders to get into the backfield too easily on a play like that. If you know it's going to be a run to the right side, you got to make sure you're at least getting a chip block on some of these guys up front.
The Rock trying to take their first lead of the day. 1:30 to go in the third. Here it is, 3rd and goal. Kester looks for the end zone, throws, and it's caught for a touchdown. Austin Scott on the inside.
Not really sure.
Wait, that's Jermaine Wynn. Jermaine Wynn.
No, you're right, Austin Scott.
Was it Austin?
Yep.
Okay. I saw Jermaine come out and celebrate, and I thought I was wrong. So, no, it was Austin Scott. Threaded the needle on that.
Really like Austin Scott's hands. It wasn't the greatest pass by Kester. He threw it into coverage and behind Scott, so Scott had to turn around to reel that ball in. And when you're doing that on a slant pattern and your momentum's taking you toward the goalpost and you got to turn around to try to bring that ball in, that takes a lot of athleticism and great hand-eye coordination, and he was able to do it.
Jake Chaplin's kick is good, and the Rock has taken their first lead of the day. 35-28 now the score. Austin Scott, the three-yard touchdown reception from Andrew Kester. We'll take a 30-second timeout and come back with more Rock football in a moment on The Rock Station 97.7.
The law offices of Dillon McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham offer a comprehensive range of services in civil law, litigation, corporate, labor, real estate, zoning and land use, personal injury, and municipal and school law. They carry a passion for being at the top of their fields and continuously striving to provide their clients with exemplary service. With offices in Butler and Cranberry, Dillon McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham can meet all your legal needs. Call them at 724-283-2200.
And we're back here at Slippery Rock University, Mahalik Thompson Stadium. Bob Cupp, Tyler Friel with you. The Rock has taken their first lead of the year, and today, 35-28 now, so the Rock back in business here and making a long comeback at one point in this game. They were down 28-7, so they've scored 28 unanswered. So Jake Chaplin getting set for the kickoff.
You mentioned Kester looking more comfortable in the offense. I do think that stands out. He just seems to have a little bit more confidence in when he's giving the signals, because he's the one that has to relay that to the team. Of course, they're looking at the sideline to get it from the coach, but he's got to be the one to execute it, and he seems to be doing a better job of that.
Boy, that was a crazy kick. He kind of line-drived it, and it went right to Jordan Level, one of the up men, and, I mean, literally hit him in the chest, and all he could do was fall down on it. So Kentucky State going to take over at, about the 30, right at the 30-yard line. And they face their first deficit of the day.
Interested to see what the play calling is going to be from Kentucky State. Like I said, the success has been with the run game, but the last drive they had a little bit out of the norm as they were trying to attack through the air. Let's see if they get back to what they've done all day or they continue to try to scramble.
Jules St. G. is in the backfield, and it's Sylvie with the handoff. And he goes up the gut and pushes the ball to the 34-yard line. It'll pick up four.
Because to me, I'm looking at a run like that, Sylvie, up the middle, 4 yards. If you're the Thoroughbreds, you're down by seven here in the third quarter. There's no reason to panic to try to go to the air.
So they'll stack the eye again with St. G. coming to the line, making the call. Steps back into the pistol and takes the snap. It's a high snap, pulls it down. Now he's got to look around. And that one's going to be blown dead. What happened here? Did we get a flag?
Yeah, there was a flag on the far side of the field.
And my guess is there's some kind of a motion here.
They're going to march him back.
Here's the call. It is motion on Kentucky State. So that play was blown dead. It'll force them back across the 30 now at the 29.
They have had snap troubles today, though. It's been a number of high snaps they've had to pull down, which when you're looking at, you know, all the timing that factors into that half second or full second it takes for the quarterback to jump up and bring that down, that could throw an entire playoff.
Seventh penalty of the day for Kentucky State. And here's a handoff inside as Sylvie comes across the 30. He gets back to the line of scrimmage. No, he didn't. They say he went down knee-wise at the 29. So he's just shy of getting back to the line of scrimmage. It'll be a third and 11 now.
Really like how the Rock are moving to the ball. They seem to be doing a nice job of stretching out the play, not attacking so much upfield as we saw at earlier times, but we're starting to see them play smarter football. Okay, what are my angles? Where do I need to go? And they have been able to execute that so far in the second half.
Well, that'll do the third quarter in. As the Rock holding up the number four, they've got a fourth quarter to take care of business, and they've got a touchdown lead, 35-28. We'll be back with the start of the fourth quarter on Rock Football on the Rock Station 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, Quartz Lane, just behind the Butler Farm Show Grounds. The official supplier of coffee for the Butler Radio Network stations is more than bottled water. They can install water purification systems. They can service your RainSoft water softener or install a new RainSoft unit. They can supply your home, your office, or place of business with water units. They're a one-stop shop. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, with excellent customer service and an array of coffee to choose from for your Keurig coffee makers. They can even supply you with the Keurig or the new Sun Cannon units. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service. Call them today.
Attorney General number, PA4619.
Oh my goodness! Sir, are you all right?
Schneider's 1 hour at your service.
Mike!
He just passed out!
Michael!
Mr. Schneider?
You're on a job!
I made it?
The catapult worked!
And I got here on time?
You did!
I think I did something to my back.
That's what I call Schneider's commitment, Mike!
It hurts!
It does hurt sometimes, but that's why we make that sacrifice.
So others don't have to?
That's right.
It's Sunday! You didn't have to... catapult yourself.
It's our pleasure, Mrs. Coleman.
Just lead us to the thermostat.
And we'll get you comfort in no time.
283-8525.
Schneider's 1 hour. On time, day or night.
283-8525.
And we're back here and set for fourth quarter action. And the first play of the fourth quarter is a swing pass outside to number 31, Tyrone Wilkerson. And he's forced out of bounds at about the 32-yard line. It's going to be short of the first down, but on the end of the play, the Rock has been flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. It is going to give Kentucky State an automatic first down and move the ball out to the 47-yard line.
They're going
to
get him with a late hit. And the official that was standing over top of the ball was not the one that called it. Instead, it was the judge who was way far back who decided to toss the flag in on that. And Coach Lutz is giving him a few choice words to describe that flag right there. But a big play for Kentucky State, as now they have it near midfield.
And here's a keeper by St. G, and he's off to the races, and he's going to go for 9 yards and just be short of the first down, but he gets into Rock territory down to the 44-yard line. St. G, a 9-yard carry.
Yeah, lapse in outside contain as they collapsed on the ball. Ends both tracking towards Sylvie going up the gut, and instead they bounced it to the outside with St. G, and he gets 9 yards on that second down and short.
And Kentucky State now, second and one. And here comes a flag. This is going to be blown dead as the ball was handed off to Malik Saunders, but it's no good. And a false start, eighth penalty of the day now for Kentucky State.
And I think both coaches would tell you, obviously there are penalties that, almost most penalties you hate to have happen, but one right there on the sideline, to me that could have gone either way. It's when you're looking at a second down and one and you get a false start because someone's a little bit anxious on the snap. Now you're looking at a second down and six. Those are the ones that frustrate coaches.
So basically you gave back some yardage back near the 50 now, 49-yard line, makes it a second and six instead of a second and one. Here's the snap. St. G does a rollout, dumps it off, has his man. He's got a first down and more. Still on his feet, spinning around is Malik Saunders, and he's down at the 33-yard line. They're going to give him the 32-yard line and a first down grab.
Terrell Gabriel, who checked into the game for the Rock at that linebacker position. They had one-on-one, and they had a slot receiver, the running back coming out of the backfield in Saunders, just a little bit faster than Gabriel. St. G recognizing that, saw the one-on-one, decided to go that route. That's a simple matchup favorability for Kentucky State, and they were able to take advantage of it.
And they get the first down after the 12-yard grab. St. G takes the snap. Does play action. Looks to throw downfield. Has a man again. It's again Saunders. And he's got another first down as he's hit out of bounds at the 20-yard line. And that'll be a gain of 12 more. Back-to-back plays to Malik Saunders have both gone for 12 yards.
When you see how often Kentucky State runs the ball, when they go to the air, there just seems to be a lapse in coverage by whether it's the linebackers or members of the secondary. Somewhere, somebody is missing their guy, because that was going right across the middle, and Saunders was not even, there wasn't a guy remotely close to him.
So first and 10. 12:55 to go in the game. The Rock up a touchdown. Kentucky State on the move. High snap, pulled down, fake handoff, dumps it off to the tight end on the outside, Jordan Level, and he's going to go inside the 10, be knocked down at, the 7-yard line, I think. It'll be first and goal.
Yeah, Level lined up at the slot, outside linebacker, read it as a run play, and so Level, when he just shifted out to the flat, St. G decided to hold on to it and just toss it out there. They had one-on-one coverage by the time the outside linebacker got there. Kentucky State had already picked up a number of yards.
So we've got three plays in a row, 12 yards, 12 yards, and 13 yards, and it gives Kentucky State a first and goal and an opportunity to tie the game here. Now they bring in Wilkerson in the backfield. Snap, roll out, pitch to the outside to Wilkerson, and he goes backward. They drop him at the 10-yard line, and that'll be a loss of three.
Well done by Trey Blanford. Didn't bite on the option. Knew, okay, I'm responsible for St. G. I'll stay here, make sure I hit the quarterback. It did that, and that left enough time for Rock defense to get out on the running back and able to bring him down. That's how you execute the option defensively. You got to make sure you're on your man, and you got to make sure you take care of business.
So now it is a second and 9. Well, second and goal, but at the 9. St. G in the pistol, and he's going to hand it off. And this is Brett Sylvie this time. Spins across the 10 and gets himself down to the 6-yard line. It'll be pickup of 3. It'll be third and goal.
When you think you have Sylvie down, he does either a spin move or some athletic move to escape some tackles. And that's what we saw there. The Rock doing a nice job of moving with the play. They saw the line break to the right, so they decided to follow the football. They were able to get to Sylvie, but they just weren't able to bring him down as he took a play that probably should have went for nothing and turned it into a gain of 3.
And you see why he was a back and a player capable of piling up 2,000 total yards last year, all-purpose yards. So now it's a third and goal from the 6. In the shotgun is St. G, sidecar Sylvie. He looks to throw that way. He's going to throw it toward the end zone. Going up for the ball is number 81, Jonathan Powell. And there's a flag coming down. This is going to nail the Rock for either a defensive hold or interference. There was a lot of hand battling going on as that play developed.
I'd imagine we're going to see a pass interference penalty here.
And it is pass interference against the Rock. That'll make it a first and goal.
Close play. Davion Franklin just didn't get turned around, I think, in time to make a legitimate attempt on the ball. And so I think the official who threw the flag just saw 17's jersey rolling right into the receiver for Kentucky State and decided, you know what, I'll throw the flag. It wasn't the most catchable ball out there, not entirely bad defense by Franklin, just an unfortunate situation that gives a fresh set of downs to Kentucky State.
Sylvie going to stack the eye behind his quarterback, and it's a quarterback keeper, and it's fooled nobody. The Rock going to drop St. G all the way back at the 6-yard line now, a loss of 5.
Nice play by the Rock defense, well-disciplined play. They saw St. G decided to keep the ball, and that's when they decided to attack. They had Sylvie. If they would have went with Sylvie in that direction, they had it stacked up. They saw he didn't have it, and so they were able to converge on the quarterback.
So now second and goal. And back out across the 5 at the 6-yard line.
That's a big play.
That's huge. as two penalties on this drive have aided Kentucky State, those penalties being rock penalties, a pass interference, and an unsportsmanlike conduct. So now this time they hand it off to Silby. He's got some running room, reaches out for the goal line. He's dropped at the one.
Man, I thought there could have been a hold on the outside, the defensive end for the Rock. No one's complaining about it, so maybe I saw some grabbing of jersey elsewhere, but Silby using his speed to bounce it to the outside. The Rock defender able to bring him down just in time. But you pretty confident with me saying this is four down territory here?
Absolutely. 9:27 to go, and the Thoroughbreds trailing by a touchdown, trying to tie it up here, especially when you're at the one-yard line.
Yeah, to me, they're going to go to Silby. If they don't get it here once, they'll go back to him again.
They actually brought Wilkerson back into the game to dot the
odd.
So here we go. St. G, and he's going to hand it off. Here's Wilkerson, runs for the end zone, is stacked up and dropped for a loss. He loses a yard.
I just don't get what Kentucky State's doing. You got Silby, who's running like a madman out there, and you're keeping him on the sideline at a big time, third down and one, and you're bringing in Wilkerson. Again, nothing against Wilkerson, but I've seen a lot from Silby today where I'm like, dang, that's the guy I want in there at the goal line. They're not doing that, and the Rock come up with a big stop, and it looks like they're going to send the kicking unit on here. I don't get this move. Man, they're playing conservative.
Turner Warren is going to try the field goal. It was Kyle Maria who tried the previous field goal of 33 and missed. This time it's Warren. Here's the snap. The kick is up. It's good. And they get 3 points out of it. They cut the Rock lead now to 35-31 at the 8:23 mark of the fourth quarter. We'll be back with the kickoff after this 30-second timeout. Rock football on the Rock Station 97.7.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
Back here at Slippery Rock University, the game right now is 35-31, 8 minutes and 23 seconds remain. And Kentucky State putting together a 13-play drive and getting 3 points.
This is just what I don't get. It is, okay, you got 8:23. Slippery Rock has shown the ability to move the ball down the field, and really Kentucky State has not stopped them in the second half. If it's not for a freak fumble in one particular instance, this game should be 42-31. Or whatever the score would be. If you have an this has always been my philosophy when it comes to football. If you have an opportunity from the 1 yard line to tie this game, or at least to have a chance to put points on the board, you don't know when you're going to be down there again. You don't know if you're going to get the ball back or going to even sniff the end zone. And you're still down a touchdown. You know, field goal doesn't help you out. I've never understood that line of thinking.
Well, that drive was the longest of the day by either team. 13 plays, 67 yards. In almost 8 minutes of time. Oh, a huge block up front. Here comes the return now. This is the return man new to the Rock, Jermaine Wynn Jr. Some nice blocking up front. And that ball brought all the way back across the 40. Was that a 40-yard return? Almost, I'm going to say a 39-yard return.
Math seems good to me, Bob. Yeah, blocking. I missed two. Laid the block on it. I mean, some guy got sent sideways on the kickoff return.
Good to see number four, Wes Hills, back on the field. He's coming out with Andrew Kester. We got to Zach Cirillo in the game as a tight end. Two receivers split up top. Dakota Clanigan on the near side. And here's a handoff, Hills, and he slips and falls and gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. Just a little slipping.
You can see how frustrated he was. I was just trying to see, you know, maybe if he's still battling some sort of injury, but he gets up and he's like, dang, I think I would have had it. Because this is a Wes Hills drive. This is the type of running back built for a drive like this. 8 minutes to go. You just want to put it in his hands and let him run.
Well, here it is. Hand off again. And he's got some running room. He gets grabbed by the ankle and goes across the 50 to the 48-yard line. And he'll pick up a few, but still be short of the first down by four, a six-yard carry.
And I think especially at this point in the game, you're seeing a lot of guys that are, You know, the heat is out there. Fourth quarter, you're on a turf field. This thing just sucks up the heat. This is gut check time.
This is Chakar Berry. And as I say the name, Dakota Clanagan, he jumps and starts to run downfield. I must have spoke too loudly. False start by number 6.
He heard Hutt, and he was off to the running because he turned around and realized nobody else was going with him. He was the one that got out to an early start. That's a tough penalty, though, because you're looking at a 3rd and 4. Now you bump that back to a 3rd and 9. And so the Rocker, I would imagine, Bob, going to have to go through the air here.
Chakar Berry remains in the game. He'll be sidecar left to Kester in the shotgun. And a 3rd and 9 now after the penalty. Here's Kester. Drops back. Looks downfield. Has time. Dumps it off. It's Berry. He catches it at the 49. Dives forward. And he's going to be a yard short of the first down. What a second effort by number 27, Chakar Berry.
I'd say if you can try to get it on the hard count here, not a bad idea. I'd get to the line, see what can pop open. 4th down and 1. And looks like Lutz is going to leave the offense on the field. You got to get to the line, though, and do it quick.
Ball down to the 45-yard line of Kentucky State. 6:44. The clock is turning. The Rock leads by 4. It will be 4th and 1.
Let's see if they go hard counter. Let's see if they're actually going to go for this.
This is Wes Hills back in the backfield now, and they snap it. Hills goes forward, puts his head down for the first down. Number 4, Wes Hills hit the line. Spun forward for a yard.
And when you have a guy like that, you have to know you just need 1 yard. He can get it for us. And that's exactly what Wes Hills did there. He may be a little bit tired. He may be working through injuries right now. But they knew, let's call on number 4 to get that first down. And he was able to finish the job.
Gutsy call by Coach Lutz. It pays off. Kester now pitches to the outside.
Great block.
Chakar Berry, and he's off to the races, up to the sideline, and is dragged down after a 10-yard carry. The Rock on the move. They can put the icing on the cake.
Eric Glover-Williams, he's the Ohio State transfer in. That is a fundamental play. He had a nice backside block that took out the defender who was responsible for guarding Chakar Berry, and so with a flip to Chakar, he was open to the races because there wasn't a Kentucky State defender there thanks to the blocking scheme of Glover-Williams.
Tremendous. His spot. They gave him the first down. It looked like 9 yards. He got 10. Now it's a handoff inside. This time he's driven backward. He got to the line of scrimmage and is immediately sent backward by number 99, Christopher Roberts.
Boy, Frankfort, Kentucky, 6'2", 330. Holy cow.
Wow.
That is a big man coming through the middle.
Yeah, welcome Chakar Berry. Stone wall right there. He actually did lose a yard.
I'd say so. You're not walking through that. You ain't running through that.
Now Wes Hills back into the game. Play action. Kester across the middle, almost picked off. Oh, Philip Francis, the linebacker, had it in his mitt, and he dropped it.
I'm really sure who Kester was looking at there. He had a receiver over top, but he was double-teamed, and then underneath there wasn't anybody there as well, and so... Not a great read from Kester. He's been favoring the pass up the middle so far today, and it's worked for him. But that time, I think he forced a throw that just wasn't there.
3rd down and 11. Clock stopped after the incompletion at 5:12. Rock leading 35-31. Kester takes the snap, drops back, has time. That time is dissipating. Now he's got a scramble. He's hit from behind and dropped. He'll gain back to the line of scrimmage, so he'll pick up a yard, but it'll be 4th down, and we'll have to punt the ball.
I go back to the 2nd down plays. It looks like we have a stop and play. Is that just because the helmet came off? Is that why they have to stop the clock?
Ryan Podgorski, Rock offensive lineman, he lost his helmet. He'll have to leave the field, and no, the Rock not going to punt here. They're going to hold on to things, so it's going to be a 4th down and 10. And now you can wind the clock. So the Rock trying to milk as much time off the clock as they can. I'm sure they're going to be happy to even take we're going to go for a field goal.
50-plus
yards right here. Jake Chapla from the near stripe. A little bit of a surprise. Here we go. Mike Marhat the hold. 51-yard attempt. Here's the kick. It's up. And it is no good. He just missed to the left. He had the distance. Just pushed it outside of the goalpost.
Yeah, I mean, you're willing to take that risk. I'm okay with that because you're looking at an opportunity to make this a touchdown ball game here, to make this a 7-point differential. I like that. You got to trust your defense to some certain extent. The ball will be at Kentucky State's own 33-yard line, so still a lot of field for them to work with. But I go back, Bob, to that second down play. You have been running the ball well. I know Chakar Berry got, you know, held up on the first down play, but you can't be afraid to go back to the ground because not only did that stop the clock, but then that left you with the third down and 10 and limited options.
So now Kentucky State takes the ball over at their own 33. And here's a handoff to Sylvie. He tries to get to the outside. He does. Here comes a flag as he goes out of bounds at the 39-yard line. It would be a gain of 6, but hold on. And it's holding Kentucky State. That one's coming back. 35-31 the score. Slippery Rock in the lead after putting up 28 unanswered points. They were down 28-7 in this game. And now Kentucky State closes to within 4. 4:29 to go in the game, but they're moving backward now. That ball will be spotted at the 23.
Now, this is why John Smith kicked the field goal on the last possession, because he thought his offense would be back out on the field with an opportunity to win the game. He's got the situation and scenario he wanted, but not entirely sure. I mean, they obviously have to make it down the field for that to happen.
Now, the longtime Division I veteran coach has seen a lot of these games. So, first down and 20. Dropping back is St. G. He's hit, scrambles. Now he's got running room. He'll go down to his feet as he goes across the 26 to the 27-yard line. A gain of 4, but good pressure that time by the Rock.
They sent 4, and they dropped everyone else back into coverage, and there really wasn't even a down, check down route in that offensive scheme there for Kentucky State. And so you had the linebackers and everyone retreating nearly 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage. So St. G was just able to step up in the pocket, realize no green jerseys were there, take a few yards, and try to cut into what was a long first down and 20 to now a second down and 15.
So 4-yard carry that time. Clock turning, 3:25. St. G, second down. Throws, screen pass. Has his man, it's caught. And he's down the sideline. He avoids a tackle. He's got
stepped
some running
out of
room,
bounds.
But he stepped out of bounds at about the 45-yard line. Looked like he had some running room for at least 10 more yards.
Got to make that tackle, though. Kyle Hall, veteran of this Rock defense, is out on the sideline. You got to tank at angle. You got to be able to stop that guy so he doesn't get the sideline. It's just a play you have to make.
That was Jordan Lovell, by the way, on the reception. So he gets the ball to the, actually, he stepped out shy of the 40-yard line. So that's a gain of 13, makes it 3rd and 3. Remember, there was a penalty in that mix. 3rd and 3. In motion is number 6, Malik Saunders. But the handoff inside, up the gut. And I believe that was Wilkerson.
It was.
Wilkerson, and he went nowhere. No gain. It's 4th down.
They're going to punt. Boy, I...
2 minutes and 33 seconds on the turning clock, and they're going to punt the ball away.
There's some decisions John Smith has made today that I'm left scratching my head. Personnel, mainly, because Sylvia has run the ball very well. And in a third down and short scenario, you give it to Wilkerson yet again, and the Rock has shown the ability to keep Wilkerson in check, and Sylvia's been the one breaking the big plays.
Eric Glover-Williams is the deep man for the Rock, and he stands at about the 31. And they kick it to the opposite side of the field. And the Rock just going to let it bounce and take a roll. And Kentucky State will down it at about the 16-yard line.
Like 30 seconds that ran off there, if not more.
No timeout taken, nothing.
No, 1:56. They have 3 timeouts. And, boy, it's just some bizarre coaching.
Well, the Rock can end the game.
He is a former Division I coach.
Right.
I mean, he's not coaching there anymore.
The ball spotted at the 16-yard line, so the Rock has an opportunity here to run a minute 56 off and end the game.
And you got number 4. We talked about that one drive being a West Hills drive. This is 3 downs where you need your big running back.
Well, it's been a day of, let's say, 3-play drives.
Yes.
That's been key for both teams. If you have a 3-play drive here, you're going to give Kentucky State an opportunity to win the game. Here is Kester. First down, he's going to pitch it to the outside. It's Wes Hills, and he puts his head down, spins out of the tackle, and he's off to the races. He got the first down and more across the 40, the 50, the 30, tucks it inside. He trips and falls across the 20. He just ran out of gas, kids.
Yes, he did.
Wow, what a run by Wes Hills.
And he knew, you look, they're running a pitch play to the outside. Wes Hills, right upon getting the ball, cuts back in because he knows, avoid the sideline at all costs. We cannot stop this clock. His athleticism, ability to make guys miss, that all incorporates into a big run, which essentially seals this game up.
That was a 64-yard run for Wes Hills. Puts him over 100 yards. Big run. And first down. Ball down on the 18 now.
Timeout, Rock. Like that call.
Yep. Rock going to take a timeout. Guess what? We'll take a 30-second timeout as well and come back with the finale of the game right after this 30-second timeout on Rock Football, the Rock Station 97.7.
McAvoy's Auto Body and Service in Slippery Rock is a veteran-owned and operated auto body and repair facility with state-of-the-art diagnostics, a certified suspension specialist, and a master technician with over 35 years of experience. They specialize in rust repair, including inners, outers, and cab corners. McAvoy's offers military, fire, EMS, and law enforcement discounts, too. So if you're looking to get a great deal and great service, look no further. McAvoy's Auto Body and Service, half mile south of the Old Stone House on Route 8, 724-967-6860.
And we're back here on Rock Football. As the Rock has a minute 20 remaining in the game. 35-31, they lead. They hold the ball, first and 10 at the 18-yard line of Kentucky State. For any score here, could ice the game.
Yeah, for Kentucky State, this is pretty much it. You got to stop them on three downs. You got to stop them three downs, hold them to a field goal to at least have a chance to try to tie this game.
Here's the snap to Kester. Hands it off to Jakar Berry. He goes inside and is forced backward. He'll lose a yard.
And I think Jakar Berry knows this is all about ball security here. You want to start. Okay, Kentucky State just finally called a timeout. It took them 5 seconds after that play was over to call timeout.
That'll be their first timeout of the day. As a matter of fact, that's the first timeout called in the game today.
Second one after the Rock just took one there on that possession. Just happened.
Oh, yeah. That's why we took a commercial break, didn't we? First by Kentucky State.
There you
I'm
go.
Really referring
there you go.
To there,
but, know? I mean, still, how are you not there beside the ref as soon as that play ends to burn a timeout? You're letting 5 seconds roll off the clock. It's been a head-scratching day, in my opinion, for John Smith in terms of some of the decisions he's made. But going back to the Jakar Berry point, he knows it's ball security. You saw him receive that handoff, two hands on the ball, even saw a defender coming after him. He's like, I'll work my way back to the middle of the field. I'm not risking this ball getting stripped. That's a smart play by 27.
Well, the drive here really aided by a 65-yard run by Wes Hills. His biggest run today, and that has now given him 164 yards on the day. 21 carries, 164 yards. They're going to bring A.J. Alexander, the new tight end, in, number 88, and bring him to the top of the line. The Rock going right now, right to left. Jakar Berry takes the pitch out, and he's got some running room. He's crossed the 20 down to the 18. And it'll be timeout again taken quickly by Kentucky State. A minute to go, and it'll be third down.
Again, Jakar Berry knowing don't go out of bounds, ball protection, saw white jerseys coming after him, clenched over the ball, making sure no one was able to get it. And another smart play by Berry. And again, you don't want to get cute here. Third down and 10. No need to overthink this. Actually, they're going with a third and 12, third and 11. Run the ball. Send Chapel out there. Get your points. And then just focus on not allowing Kentucky State to score.
Next week, we will be coming to you from Shippensburg University, where the Rock will travel out to take on the Red Raiders. 1 o'clock game time. 12:30 is the pregame here on the Rock Station 97.7. First of two road games out to the eastern side of the state and eastern portion of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference, Shippensburg, and then Millersville the following week. The Rock will be back home on Saturday, September 22nd, for a visit from Seton Hill, and that'll be a 6 o'clock night game.
What's Shippensburg's nickname?
The Red Raiders.
Red Raiders.
Red Raiders. I think the last time we were out there, the game was delayed because of a tornado warning. Bizarre. All right, here we go. It is 3rd and 11 for The Rock. Jakar Berry goes in motion. Kester, high snap. Looks to throw. Nope, he's going to hold it, pull it down, run around, run some clock off, takes a hit at the 21, loses 2 yards, but he forces Kentucky State to use their final timeout. The clock stops at 51 seconds remaining in the game. 35-31 is the score. The Rock holding on to the lead, and they're going to be faced with a 4th down and about 9. Or actually, no, make it 13 because they lost 2.
Probably looking at, what, 35, 37-yard field goal here somewhere along that line for Jake Chapley. Did miss his earlier attempt on the day, but that was from 50 yards out on the far hash. So this should be working in his favor. It's on the left hash mark. Him being a left-handed kicker should be able to just swing it right in there. Wind, as always, at Mahalik Thompson Field, always playing a factor. I don't know if I've ever walked up here any day, and it's been still. And it's definitely moving today.
Yeah, it is, but it's moving in his favor.
Yes.
So this will be a 31-yard field goal attempt. If it's good, it will give The Rock a 7-point lead with about 50 seconds remaining. Mike Marhot will be the holder. Chapla on the near hash, the near hash being the Slippery Rock sideline. And here's the left-footed attempt. Chapla, snap good. Kick is up. It looks good. It goes right through the middle. And it's a field goal for Jake Chapla of 31 yards. And it gives The Rock another 7-point lead. 48 seconds remain. 38-31 is the score now. And so that drive went 5 plays.
Aided by Wes Hills.
65-yard run.
He's been the type of running back that the Rock need. He's a guy that you can rely on short yardage situations, has the ability to burst open a big run, and has that veteran presence in the backfield. The knowledge of, okay, just like on that flip, I got to stay in bounds. I got to make, it was just such a fundamentally sound play. And when you watch him, he's falling forward. He's getting those extra 2-3 yards that you just don't see a lot of running backs do. This has actually been a great duo to watch today between Wes Hills for Slippery Rock and then what we've seen Sylvie do for Kentucky State. What's just bizarre is when the Rock needed to call upon Wes Hills, he was in the game. Kentucky State in situations where they should be calling on Sylvie, well, he was nowhere to be found. It was, to me, weird personnel decisions today by Smith.
Well, Jake Chapla will tee it up here, kick it back to Kentucky State. And they started the day with Sylvie in the backfield in the kick return game. He has not been out there in the second half. Michael Nero is the guy back deep, which is interesting because he's such a dynamic return man.
Again, you need a big play guy, and this is what you want him for. 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter, game on the line. You'd think number 3 would be out there unless there's something we don't know about.
And is it heat-related? You got to wonder.
You do wonder.
Yeah, Chapley hits this low, and it hits about the 10-yard line, skips into the end zone, so it'll be a touchback. So 48 seconds remain in the game. And it'll be 1st and 10, Kentucky State at their own 25-yard line. They're down a touchdown, 38-31.
Beware of the run because you get the first down in college football, it stops the clock. So just be careful. An athlete like St. G, he has the ability to run the ball. So I'd be looking for a quarterback scramble or check down. Obviously focus on the deep ball first. They're going to try to beat you through the air. But I would be just my eyes would be open to see if one of these guys tucks and run because 48 seconds in college football, you can get down the field, and we've seen big plays all game long.
Here's St. G, and he's chased, and he's going to be sacked. He throws the ball away. That should be a penalty. There's no flag. He was
now there it is.
He was about to be sacked inside the 10-yard line, and he just flung the ball to the sideline as he was going down. And we have somebody else down
it's
on the
Saint
ground.
G.
St. G is down. He got pulled down, and as he was as he was going down. This looks like it could be a groin kind of injury.
I think you're right.
He was being dragged backward and just flung the ball away. So we're going to have an intentional grounding, but right now St. G is down. What pursuit, though, that time for the Rock?
Yeah, just rushing four. They were playing tight man-to-man coverage, too, as indeed they now make the grounding call. And so I believe, Bob, that's a spot foul, right? Loss of down. So this will move the Thoroughbreds back to the six-yard line.
Let's remember at halftime the
10-second runoff? Yeah. They drop it down to 30 seconds.
Remember we talked at halftime, the differential in the game at this point was big plays and some mistakes by the Rock, in particular one turnover that really cost them. But at that time, Kentucky State was 5 of 8 on third down. They are now 0 for 4 for this half.
I mean, you look at the second half defensively, what the Rock have done. They've held Kentucky State to 3 points. I mean, when you were getting beat in, I don't want to say embarrassing plays, but those big plays, those are ones you hate to see when you're a player or a coach and a fan. They have eliminated those, and they have come out and played staunch defense here for the entire second half, and they need to do it for about 25 more seconds.
The Rock has piled up 542 yards of offense today. Now here's Paul Campbell into the game, and he throws it downfield, and it's intercepted. Is that Tavares Sample again?
You betcha.
It's the captain. He's got his second of the day. Tavares Sample picks it off at the 38-yard line. Paul Campbell threw it up for grabs, and the center fielder was there. And the Rock is going to take away victory number one.
It wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. This was a team that was down 28-7 early in this ball game, relying on their first-year starter, Andrew Kester, to come into the game making big plays, and he indeed did that with a big touchdown run that really, to me, Bob, swayed the momentum back in the Rock's favor. Great job by the defense, and it's nice to have the senior captain end this on an interception, his second of the day.
No, we had him on at halftime, and, you know, you heard him talk at halftime about the senior leadership that he was prepared to help and how this team was stung how last year ended.
Mm-hmm.
And they all worked very, very hard. They were very motivated to change that this year. And certainly they didn't like how the first half went, but they responded coming out of the locker room, and they're going to come away with an exciting victory here today. Victory formation for Kester. He'll take the step forward and end the game. Slippery Rock comes away with a victory here this afternoon, 38-31 over the Kentucky State Thoroughbreds. We'll be back to recap the game after these messages on Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
Count on Butler Agway for everything, seeds to feeds. Canning season is in full swing, and they carry everything you need. From spices, pickling, canning jars, pots, including the crocks for sauerkraut. Pet food? They carry a wide array of wholesome feed for all of your animals, including treats, chews, and vitamins. Stop by Butler Agway today, Route 68, right across from the Farm Showgrounds, and see why we say you can count on Butler Agway all the time. Butler Agway.
Do you have an Amazon Echo, Tap, or Dot in your home? If you do, you can load the new Butler Radio News skill and get the latest local news, sports, and weather from Alexa anytime you want. The Butler Radio News skill is the area's only skill to offer local news, sports, and weather. To get the skill, open your Alexa app, search for Butler Radio News, and enable the skill. It's that simple. Alexa, what's in the news?
From the Butler Radio Network, here is the latest news.
The Butler Radio Network is proud to be a leader in providing up-to-date local content to you on the devices you use. On your radio, your computer or tablet, your smartphone, and now on your Amazon Alexa device.
Welcome back to Rock Football here this afternoon. The Slippery Rock University football team coming away with a 38-31 victory over Kentucky State. Let's recap the scoring for you here this afternoon. It opened up not in the favor of the Rock, that's for sure. Big plays, really big plays, hurt the Rock initially, but then they started to respond with big plays of their own. But the first big play of the day was a 75-yard touchdown run by Brett Sylvie. It was actually a third down and 10 play, and in the third play of the game, he busted that off, giving Kentucky State the early 7-0 lead. Kentucky State would respond right back after an interception of Andrew Kester. He was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. It seemed like the ball just slipped out of his hand. It was picked off by Zuriel Rudolph of Kentucky State, and Kentucky State would make pay dirt after that with Jules St. G busting off a 5-yard touchdown run. This after he had had a big run just prior. Made it 14 to nothing. The Rock did get on the board, though, their own 3-play drive and a big play. Henry Litwin catching a 57-yard touchdown pass from Andrew Kester. If you remember in that first quarter, that was a play where Kentucky State had jumped offside. Well, Andrew Kester read it, found Henry Litwin over the middle, got the Rock on the board, their first touchdown of the year, 14-7 at that point. And then the disaster started to strike again. Kentucky State, a 77-yard run by Jules St. G, set up a 5-yard touchdown run by the quarterback, and that was a 5-play drive of 85 yards, but again, a 77-yard run right up the gut. And all of a sudden, it was 21-7. The Rock would then have an opportunity to move downfield, get into a goal line situation, but Andrew Kester fumbled going into the end zone, and that drive was thwarted. After that, the two teams swapped punts, and then Kentucky State would take a 28-7 lead with a Brett Sylvie 1-yard touchdown run. And this was coming after another big play during that drive. The Rock would be down 28-7, but they would get on the board late in the first half after a pretty solid drive to end. Wes Hills, a 10-yard touchdown run. The Rock putting together a very quick 5-play drive of 62 yards. That cut the deficit in half at halftime. It was 28-14, but they would get the ball back to start the second half, and they continued the progression forward. And a big drive to open up that second half. Mike Merhot capped a 4-play drive. It was short because he caught a 40-yard touchdown pass from Andrew Kester that also featured just a miraculous catch by Henry Litwin, an 11-yard grab that particular drive that really set up the next play. It was 28-21. Kentucky State put together a pretty significant drive of their own, but turned the ball over on downs in Rock territory, and the Rock would come back, march down the field. Another fumble, though, at the goal line. This time it was Wes Hills. Kentucky State got the ball back, marched downfield, missed a 33-yard field goal, and then the Rock would ice the game as Andrew Kester on a keeper ran 80 yards for a touchdown to tie the game. Tavares Sample would intercept his first of two balls, and then Austin Scott put the Rock up for good for the first time this year, but for good. 35-28 would be the score after a 3-yard touchdown grab. Kentucky State would put together a very significant drive of 13 plays and kick a field goal to make it 35-31, but then the Rock would regain the 7-point lead with a late in the game with a 31-yard field goal by Jake Chapley. He had missed a 51-yarder earlier in that scenario, but then Tavares Sample ends the game with his second interception of the day. So up and down, big plays all over the place, but I think one thing that really will stand out to you outside of the tenacity of this team and the way they fought through the adversity and came back was the way the defense completely shut down Kentucky State in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, I was really impressed. Not really impressed. I was impressed with some of the aspects we saw from the Slippery Rock defense coming out of the gate. It was the big plays that were frustrating to watch, whether it was a missed tackle, miscommunication, or somebody out of place, not doing what they need to do to stop big plays like that. They're even more frustrating when they happen on third down and longs, and it's almost like Kentucky State is conceding the drive by handing it off up the middle, and instead they were breaking them for big gains. And so when you have that, the mental capacity, and to me this is where you see a more experienced crew coming into the mix, when you have that mental capacity to overcome your early mistakes, you overcome the early disasters that happened defensively, because that's what they were. When you're allowing 75 plus yard runs, those are disaster oriented plays defensively. You're able to overcome that. You're able to shut the door down. So give a lot of credit to Dom Rosano, Sean Lutz, to get these guys in the mental capacity to be able to overcome some of their early faults, and then give a lot of credit to the guys on the field for sticking with the game and holding this Kentucky State team to just 3 points in the second half.
Well, the Kentucky State thoroughbreds certainly showed that they have some significant athletes on their team with those athletic plays that they made for those big runs. But you take away the fact that the Rock had allowed them 257 yards at halftime. They would only allow 130 yards in the second half. And again, keep in mind, three plays, 187 yards. That was the difference in that first half. But the Rock piling up 454 yards of total offense today. And Andrew Kester, in his first start for the Rock, 13 of 24, three touchdowns and the interception. And again, that interception was just some misfortune. He was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. It just slipped out of his hand. But three touchdowns today. He was sacked twice. Wes Hills, that big 65-yard run here late in the game, ended up 17 carries, 91 yards. Henry Litwin, Austin Scott, Jermaine Wynn Jr., all with just two catches on the day, but they were big ones. Litwin, the big 57-yard touchdown. Austin Scott, a 47-yard reception as well. And how about the defense? You mentioned it with Dom Rosano really keeping his defense together. I mean, they gave up the big plays early, but look at this. You had Dylan Whiteman with three tackles for a loss. Wilfred Clark, 2.5 tackles for a loss. Jeff Marks, newcomer on the team, transferred in from Navy, 1.5 tackles for a loss. Big, big days, especially from those guys up front.
That's what they were getting the push for most of the day, and that's why I found those big runs to just be head-scratchers, because they were owning the game up front, the front seven really in its entirety. Now, they did some things where making mistakes such as angles, you know, not tackling. Again, the small things that I do think are correctable as they get older. But when you look at the first front four guys, a few returners from last year, and as you mentioned, a few of the newcomers, they were doing a job against what I thought was a very athletic offensive line for Kentucky State, because they were clearing out spots to give Sylvie and St. G room to run. So to prevail, especially in the conditions like this, you know, you don't want to understate the fact that 85 degrees playing on turf, you know, whatever, you know, 12-minute quarters or 15-minute quarters, excuse me, 60-minute football game, that's difficult to do. And so the guys up front deserve a lot of credit. And I wanted to also touch upon, you had mentioned the wide receivers. This is a talented wide receiving core. Some of the catches Austin Scott made today were phenomenal. Henry Litwin doing the same. And then you also factor it, you put in Dakota Clanigan into that mix, and then Mike Merhant with a touchdown as well. This is a talented group of four wide receivers, and I think we'll see Andrew Kester continue to get better as the season rolls along, because I think we just saw that in this game alone. First half a little bit shaky at times. Second half he seemed more confident in what he was doing and throwing a better ball.
It was all about getting some rhythm going.
Yeah.
And you saw, I thought Andrew had some happy feet beginning of the game. He just looked really nervous out there, had to settle in a little bit. He looked like a veteran poised quarterback in the second half.
And I think that's what you want to see, is you want to see a guy who has confidence in his offense. And I also really liked when we saw The Rock trying to pick up the pace offensively, and you could even just see Sean Lutz doing that from the sideline, saying, hey, we got to move. We got to pick up this pace, because you have to have one of those drives, and he wanted it early out of the gate. Now, granted, it didn't come early. It came early in the second half, but you want to have that just that drive that takes the wind out of Kentucky State, and you just feel the momentum grow with every snap of the football. And so I think as this team continues to get more experience, they'll continue to get better. And with games, you know, Shippensburg coming up, Millersville, I think Ship's going to be a decent test coming up next week. Millersville, you know, you may be able to work through some kinks. I wouldn't overlook any of these opponents by any stretch. But at the same time, I think you're going to have 3 weeks here coming out of the gate where you'll be able to really, you know, work on becoming a more crisp operation by the time you hit PSAC West play.
Yeah, next week going to be a true test, no doubt about it. Shippensburg, one of the best in the PSAC last year. It'll be a road game, too. So we'll be on the air at 12:30 with the Coach Sean Lutz Show. And then the kickoff at 1 o'clock next week, September 8th at Shippensburg. Then when on the road to Millersville, the next home game here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. Hope you plan to come up. 6 o'clock kickoff on the 22nd as Seton Hill University comes in to open up Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division play. Well, as bad as things went in that first half, they really turned it around nicely today. And the Rock coming from behind, scoring 28 unanswered to win 38-31 here today. I would say great day to kick off the Rock football season on a Labor Day weekend.
Always good to start the season out with a win. You just hope you reel off a bunch of them this year.
That's right. Tyler Friel, always great to do a game with you.
Always enjoy it.
Good job today. And to Anthony Willison back at the studios for making us happen, and the entire athletic communications staff here at Slippery Rock University, we thank them, led by John Holtz, and the great work that they do, especially with the opportunity for you to see the game streaming at rockathletics.com. We'll be back on the air again next week at 12:30. Hope you'll join us for Rock football. Again, the final score today, 38-31, The Rock, a winner over Kentucky State. I'm Bob Kupp. We'll talk to you again for Rock football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.